This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Two of the youngest application or app developers for the iPhone and iPad live in Denver. The boys are 13 years old and best friends. Colorado Public Radio's Pat Mack has their story.
Okay, half score.
Charlie Fish and Santiago Gonzalez are at Santiago's house, sitting at a table, typing on their MacBooks. They're not doing homework. This is playtime, which for them means updating their computer software and writing new code. Charlie says there's nothing else they'd rather be doing.
Just hanging out, having fun.
Fittingly for two boys wearing Apple computer t-shirts, they met last year in Littleton at Macintosh Academy. It has nothing to do with the computer company. It's actually a private school for gifted and talented students. But it's where Charlie and Santiago discovered they shared a love for Apple and computer programming. Both boys created their first apps 2 years ago at the age of 11. One of Charlie's first apps makes your iPhone sound like a wizard wand.
That's one of the wands, and you can choose the different wands that you want. And there's also create your own wand for an additional 99 cents.
People can cast spells on their friends or enemies?
Yep.
Do you do that?
Sometimes.
Charlie and Santiago learned how to create apps or pieces of software from books, from each other, and from attending national conferences where, yes, they were the youngest developers. They've got a lot of competition. Hundreds of thousands of apps are out there, even some that duplicate what the boys have created. But they're still finding buyers. Charlie now has 7 apps for sale, including his most ambitious, Big Dog Reader. It uses sounds and games to develop reading skills. Santiago has about 15 apps, mostly games, but not all. One is a metronome.
So, and then you can change the tempo and the time signature. And you can change what sound it makes.
Santiago actually uses this app. He finds time for piano lessons when he isn't programming or attending college. Yes, the 13-year-old just wrapped up his second semester at the Colorado School of Mines. His course lists included Calculus 1, Introduction to Mining Engineering, and Chemistry.
You learn really quickly, so it's really fun, and I don't ever get bored.
Charlie's not at Macintosh Academy anymore either. He's homeschooling online about 5 hours a day. That leaves him several hours every day for his app business. Charlie won a statewide entrepreneurship award from the Young American Center for Financial Education last year. Part of the prize, connecting him with a business mentor. He had found programming mentors earlier. It's not your typical teenage experience for the boys or their mothers.
What I can say in one word is has been an adventure.
Vanessa Gonzalez says it's been hard to find educational challenges for her son, Santiago.
It has been very different of what I expected, but definitely fun. It has his ups and downs, of course, and sometimes it's a little frustrating not being able to get what they need. But most of the time, people are very helpful.
Wendy Fish, Charlie's mom, agrees. She adds that the mothers are glad their sons found each other.
For a long time, I mean, Charlie's friendships never blossomed the way that they should at his age because he had such different interests. And now he and Santiago are such good friends because they share this common love of Apple computer and programming, and they can help each other out.
Okay, so yeah, so work on that.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
Back in front of their computers, the friends continue what they consider play. So far, they've had thousands of downloads of their apps. They aren't sharing how much they've made. They mostly use the money to buy, what else, computers and computer gear.
Let's see what new cool apps there are.
App developers range from 13-year-olds to seasoned professionals, so it's hard to pinpoint just how many there are in the state. One industry veteran guesses the number could be anywhere from 500 to 1,000. Brad Weber is president and CEO of Inspiring Apps in Boulder. In 2007, the company was one of the first in the state to focus on making apps. Weber says the app market in Colorado is going strong, which he bases on several things.
The number of developers, the number of inquiries that we get for our services, and we're seeing the level of sophistication of those clients increase. as time goes by as well.
Let's talk about one of the apps you've created. I was looking at the one called Nudge. What's that all about?
Nudge is a reminder app that we created primarily out of a need on our own team to avoid parking tickets in the downtown Boulder area.
You were having a problem with that.
That's right.
So how does that solve the problem?
You can set up reminders in the app to notify you when your meter is going to nearly expire and hopefully outrun the person who's readying a ticket in your name.
Another app you developed is called Upbeat Workout. Now, I guess this selects songs from your music library and then matches those songs with how fast you're running?
That's right. It's intended as a training tool. You can use it in one of two ways, and one of those is that the app will automatically draw tunes from your iTunes library with a tempo that matches the cadence of your run at the time. The second option is to follow a coach-led workout, in which case there is voiceover audio from a professional running coach who is encouraging you through the workout and indicating that you should now be running at a 60% level or a 70% level and so on. And that's based on your stated maximum cadence in the app. And then in that case, the app will pull songs from the library to guide you along in the workout. So as long as you're keeping step with the tunes, then you're following the instruction of the coach. For me, it makes running certainly a lot more tolerable.
What music matches your cadence?
That's a fine question. My wife just made some musical selections for me for the Boulder, and Climb Every Mountain from Sound of Music came on. So I'm glad that she's not the robot inside my Upbeat Workouts. It's inspiring, but perhaps not the tempo I was looking for.
No. You've also developed an app, ePCR, for patient care report. And this lets emergency responders use an iPad to record vital patient information right there at the scene.
That's correct. They do so on an iPad. The primary market initially is agencies who have traditionally been paper-based. And what we're providing to those folks out of the gates is a solution that would allow many, potentially, EMS professionals in the same agency to each use their own iPad, record patient data, share that among other members of their team, and submit instantly and electronically back to the office where that data could be managed.
And how does that stand out? Are there other products like it?
There are others who are working on similar products, but there's nothing released in the market yet.
So you develop apps for companies that then use them for themselves, or do they sell these apps in the marketplace?
It's a mix for us. We do both. In some cases, we build apps that are then sold under our client's name in the App Store. That's the case for Upbeat Workouts. And we also build apps under our own name, like ePCR for iPad, that we will sell as inspiring apps.
How about games? There's tons of games. They're really popular. Do you make games?
There are tons of games. I like to play games, but we don't develop games. It's a tough market. There's certainly a great deal of competition. It's challenging to create a commercial success.
I understand one Colorado company has actually succeeded in the game arena.
That's right. Backflip Studios in Boulder is doing a terrific job with their titles.
Ragdoll Toss?
Ragdoll Blaster.
Oh, there you go. What does that do?
You use ragdolls that are shot from a cannon to solve physics puzzles on your iPhone or iPad.
Science and violence all rolled into one. That's got to be a hit, right? Do you just get ideas for apps all the time?
We certainly have no shortage of them within our team, and the number of folks who come to us with new app ideas is in no short supply as well.
Do you have some that really just don't go anywhere? And if so, what dooms them?
There's occasionally great distance between a good idea and a truly marketable product. There's nothing necessarily magical about the app market. There's still products like people have been marketing traditional products for a long time. And I think that's a hurdle for some folks to get over, that they still think that there's a, if you build it, they will come gold rush in the app stores. And that seems to be fading.
Hundreds of thousands of apps now, and it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, I guess, huh?
That's right.
How much does a typical app cost to develop?
Our business apps that we tend to focus on, I think, are safely in the range of anywhere from 50,000 to more like 200,000. And 100 to 150 is not unusual.
What is the biggest challenge with an app? Trying to keep it simple?
That's true. So sage advice is to try and solve one problem, a relatively small problem, and solve it well. As the devices have gotten larger, we've moved with a focus on exclusively on smartphones in recent years to tablets. It really opens up the possibilities to solve more challenging problems and slightly larger problems, but the goal is still to remain focused.
Brad, thank you for joining us.
Thank you again.
Brad Weber is president and CEO of Inspiring Apps in Boulder. He spoke with CPR's Pat Mack. Weber tells us that if you want to learn how to develop apps, check out podcasts by Stanford University in the iTunes University Store.